March 24, 1908. Prevailing Faith, Ellen G. White. Faith, the apostle says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The faith of the Christian rests on the Word of God, which is a lamp to the feet of his people. Following its rays, they walk in the light. But those who reject the light, determining not to hear and obey, will be left in the darkness of error. The day of God's vengeance is just before us, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince that standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. When the time of trouble comes, every case will have been decided. No longer will probation linger. No longer will there be mercy for the impenitent. Our own course of action is determining whether we shall be destroyed with the workers of iniquity or delivered with the people of God. The Lord is willing to help us. While his face is against them that do evil, his eyes are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. What we need now is a living, active faith in God. You do not know, dear reader, that you will live one day longer. You cannot call one hour your own. You do not know how soon death may feel for your heartstrings. Will you then let envy, hatred, and jealousy live in your hearts? Or have you gained one precious attainment after another until pride, malice, and selfishness have been swept away, and there remain the graces of the Spirit, meekness, forbearance, gentleness, charity? God will help every one of us if we will take hold of the help he has provided. This is an individual work. Every man is to build over against his own house. You have nothing to do with the sins of others, but you have much to do with yourself. Take your Bibles and in humble faith send your petition to God. Do not rest day nor night until you can say, "Hear what the Lord hath done for me," until you can bear a living testimony and tell of victories won. Jacob wrestled with the angel all night before he gained the victory. When morning broke, the angel said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." But Jacob answered, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Then his prayer was answered. "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob," the angel said, "but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and men, and hast prevailed." When the test on Mount Carmel was over, and God had answered by fire, then it was that the prophet went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, an attitude indicating deep humility and earnest supplication. Time after time, Elijah sent his servant to see if, in answer to his prayer, a cloud was rising. But no cloud was to be seen. At the seventh time, the servant returned with the word, "There ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand." Did Elijah stand back and say, "I will not receive this evidence. I will wait until the heavens gather blackness"? No. He ventured all upon that token from the Lord, and sent his messenger to tell Ahab that there was the sound of abundance of rain. We need the perseverance of Jacob and the unyielding faith of Elijah, faith that will take hold and will not let go. Inspiration tells us that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, yet the Lord heard his prayer. And why should not the Lord be entreated in behalf of his people today? He will. For heaven is not closed against the fervent prayer of the righteous. The only reason of our lack of power with God is to be found in ourselves. By many, such a faith as these mighty men of God had in times past is considered old-fashioned. It is pronounced absurd, mystical, and unworthy of an intelligent mind. Unbelief of the truths of God's Word, because human judgment cannot comprehend the mysteries of His work, is found in every community, in all ranks of society. It is taught in many schools and comes into the lessons of the nurseries. Everywhere the spirit of darkness in the garb of religion will confront the soul. Thousands who profess to be Christians give heed to lying spirits. And the time is not far distant when every soul will be tested. In the name of Christ, I would address you. Abide in the faith which you have received from the beginning. We must keep close to the Word of God. There is danger in departing in the least from its instructions. We need its warnings and encouragement, its threatenings and its promises. We need the perfect example given only in the life and character of our Savior.
In order to stand fast in the truth, we need to have a living, active faith in God and His Word. Without such faith, it is impossible to please God. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The faith that is required is not a mere assent to doctrines. It is the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. Humility, meekness, and obedience are not faith, but they are the effects or fruits of faith. Implicit trust in God's power to save and its effect on the life and character do not come in a moment. These heavenly graces are acquired by the experience of years. By a life of holy endeavor and firm adherence to the right, the people of God seal their destiny. Do not be afraid to trust God. Rely upon His sure promise, "Ask, and ye shall receive." Do not let go of the promise, even though you do not see an immediate answer to your prayers. God is too wise to err, and too good to withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. Man is erring, and although his petitions may be sent up from an honest heart, he does not always ask for the things that are good for him or that will glorify God. When this is so, our wise and good Father hears our prayers and answers, sometimes immediately, but He gives us the things that are for our good and His own glory. If we could look into His plan, we should clearly see that our prayers are answered in wisdom and love. And through the temptations and trials of life, the promise will be fulfilled. "I will guide thee with mine eye."